Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Story Crafters podcast. I am Jared, World's Okayest Crafter. I am joined by Nicole, Game Master Mom, and Charlie, Inked GM LLC. Jeff is not with us, but he is here in coloring book form. Who made that book? Interesting. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. Those of you who are listening, I guess you'll just have to watch it to find out. Jeff, we miss you. Get well soon. Let's hop right in. How are you guys?
I'm so excited now that we saw Jeff's character in the coloring book. That just made my night.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm
so awesome.
I'm both like so excited and terrified also to color his character because I really want to, but now I'm just like thinking how much I want to doodle on him, you know?
Yeah. But
what can you do? Cargrim's a good looking guy, just like Jeff himself. So,
I mean, you know what you could do is you could download the PDF copy and then you could print out as many Jeffs as you want and just do a bunch of different versions.
I'm going to print out a bunch and color them all, and just the wallpaper in my D&D room is just going to be Cargrim everywhere, floor to ceiling, all the walls.
I love it.
Well, you know, and with a little bit of whiteout and a Sharpie, you could color them and make him into a flip book and animate
it. Ooh, hey. That seems like it's not in my skill set.
I know, like, that sounds like a lot of work. I think I might be able to do it, but it would take me like weeks.
I mean,
grab
Do you have anything else going on, Nicole?
No. You know what, though? At this point, I'm like, maybe I'm so big that I have people for that. So maybe I'll just task one of my people with it.
Yeah, that's the energy. That's what we like to hear. Let's see, though, what you've been up to see if you can justify, you know, putting that onto somebody else. Let's all go ahead and roll initiative. I'm going to use these beautiful little dice that somebody we all might know and love sent to me. That would be Charlie, Inked GM. Sent me these lovely dice along with a care package with a bunch of awesome stickers.
Oh, also, I don't know if I told you those dice glow in the dark.
Oh, I did. You didn't know. You didn't tell me. But I did find out literally just before we started recording this. I walked in to this room and it was dark, and I'm like, "What are those?" So yes, very excited about them. But this will determine it. I'm rolling it right now, so this will determine whether they're actually good or not. So you know, no pressure.
Okay, we'll see.
Historically, the dice I give out do not roll well.
I mean, I've rolled significantly worse on this show. Nicole?
I got a one. I got a one.
Oh. Oh. Oh, no. Womp womp.
Well, that's our episode, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it.
We should have.
A one at least beats Jeff, though, right? Because he's not here.
That's fair. I rolled two ones. I rolled an 11.
Oh, not bad. Double digits.
Not bad. Okay. Yeah.
Great. Double digits.
Yeah.
I have a tradition because the very first D&D session I played and campaign I played in, my best friend Forrest gave me my first set of dice, TTRPG set of dice, and I still have them. They're one of my favorites. Love them. But I wanted to continue that tradition with all of my D&D games, especially my paid GM games. So I always make sure when I get a new player who comes to the table, one of the things is I try to give them a set of dice that is themed kind of to their character a little bit. And for whatever reason, the majority of the time, those dice do not roll well. So the fact that you got double digits on the first roll,
it's pretty solid.
Is huge. But what I'm thinking is maybe the dice I give out are bad for players, but good for GMs.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I mean, I feel like we just got to keep testing that theory, right?
Yeah. I'll pull mine out and roll mine next time, and maybe it'll treat me better.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I mean,
I
numerically speaking, it can't be worse.
It'll be worse. Yeah.
I am going to roll my new digital dice on D&D Beyond.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Stranger Things set.
Oh, those are pretty sweet looking too.
Yeah. And I got a 12.
Hey, okay. There you go. You're the man then. You are the man of the hour. Lead us off.
Yeah, what you been up to, Charlie?
So, as our listeners may know, Jeff and I got to go to BirdQuest, which was so much fun. Absolute blast. Yes. We had such a great time there, and it was fantastic. We got to host a panel, which was awesome. We had over like 20 people in the room. It was so cool.
That's wild.
Everybody was there for the full hour and asking questions. And, we're like, hey, after we're done, if you want to meet us in the hallway. And we just talked to, people about D&D for like the next like 2 hours. It was great. We had so much fun and we got to meet a lot of really great people, the day before, which was a ton of fun. And of course we hung out with our friend James over at Tabletop Misfits. Shout out to him.
Yeah.
And all the cool stuff they're doing over there. But that was a ton of fun. I went to BirdQuest last year and it was really cool getting to go for the second year in a row. So I was really excited about that. When this comes out, it's going to be well over, but did get to meet up in person finally with Ian of Minva RPG. And he gave me some stuff to give away to some of my followers. So we have that giveaway that will have wrapped up by the time this came out. And congratulations to whoever won.
You know who you are.
Yes. Now, one thing that is really cool that I just got to do last night was I finally got to play in another game as a player. And ooh, specifically with my first GM, Garrett. He's running a short campaign series, about two or three sessions. But the idea is that we play as monsters. So ooh, we're using monster stat blocks. But we're doing a quasi kind of thing. So we are using the monster stat block in some of the abilities in place of a species, and we're still picking a class. I am playing as a paladin oathbreaker. Death Tyrant.
That's cool.
It is awesome. I got to burst through a wall like the Kool-Aid Man. Nice. It was great. We had a fantastic time.
I mean, what more can you ask for, really?
Yeah.
And I'm just curious what other people are playing as. What are the other monster characters?
Yes, I have notes.
Of course you do.
Yeah. I would expect nothing less. If you would have answered, I actually don't know. I think I would have probably had a heart attack and fallen out of my chair.
Yes. So we have. Okay. Yep. We have Jimothy the Zorn. Zorn, if you're familiar with the species, they are the crazy underground living creatures with three arms and three legs and with three eyes and a big mouth sits on top of them. Really awesome. What's really fun though is it's actually being played by my best friend Forrest, who gave me the dice that I mentioned earlier. Very clever. So Zorns are known for eating precious metals and gems and magical items. So what he's playing he's playing as a monk, specifically the Drunken Master, and he's using the gold and the magic items and the gems that we loot off of the adventurers that we kill as his alcohol for the quota for the Drunken Master.
Incredible.
He has a system that they worked out of like how much gold equals a level of intoxication, and it's awesome. It's so funny.
That's next level.
The next one is a demi-lich who is called Matilda Faust. And if I remember correctly, I believe they're a warlock class. But what's really funny is like a lot of their stuff is themed almost bard-like. So when she does like spells, it's like creating a spotlight and sound of applause and things like that. It's very funny. And then we have, I'm going to say this wrong, Brispira Nowhere, the Banshee. I did not write down, and I can't remember what class they are. But yeah, they're really funny. They're just playing as this person who recently died and is stuck as a Banshee. And they just are super apathetic and are just like just a real downer. It's great.
That's so much fun.
We also have Ruin. This one's really good. We have somebody playing as a ranger, and they're playing as an animated sword.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Awesome.
So they're just this floating sword. They talk to us telepathically.
Okay.
But as you know, with rangers, especially a Beastmaster Ranger, they have a companion. So he is an animated sword, and his companion, his name is Ruin's Edge. His companion beast is a dagger named Ruin Jr.
Okay, that's cute.
Fantastic. Great. Lastly, we have a Veruca Oriron. The last time, I can't remember how to pronounce exactly, but I can't remember what exact species they are, but they are like this grotesque frog creature, and they're considered large. He's playing it as a barbarian, but they have very mellow, down to earth kind of personality. So it's really funny when they start raging. It's very good. But yeah, whatever the species is, I could probably look it up at some point, but they have a thing. And that's one thing that's also making it very fun dynamically, is that his character in particular has an ability as a monster that within 10 feet of it, you have to make a constitution check because of its stench, in order to see if you can still do an action. Mm-hmm. So that is one thing that's making it very fun, is that we are using these abilities and stats, but at the same time, we're not changing them to make it for us to work together. So do have to be very mindful and careful of how we do things, because we easily, as monsters, like, have all these abilities that affect everyone around us, because they don't typically work with others in multiple. So it's very funny. We're constantly like messing each other up and everything. It's really good.
It sounds like a twist on like a Thunderbolts or Suicide Squad sort of deal, where it's just like a bunch of, you know, band of actual misfits come together to try to, you know, so fun. What a great idea.
Yeah, and actually you're very right in that. It is very much like none of us realize it last night, and I wonder if the GM realized it and just hasn't said it, but it is very Suicide Squad-esque, because there's this larger god that has taken all of us and given us this tattoo brand, and that brand is what limits a lot of our capabilities and power and health.
Okay,
right? So that's how you narratively explain, you know, why does, because my Death Tyrant's only level 5, has 39 hit points, but you know, Death Tyrant has a lot more than that. So it's pretty cool.
How fun.
Yeah. So that's been a lot of fun.
What a cool idea for a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jared,
how about you? It's been a minute.
So many things. It's been so long. So I had to write down everything, and I will skim over some of this, but it's been forever, and I've done so many things, I feel like, but I finally got back into crafting some, which has been great. I took a fairly long and semi-unintentional hiatus. But I've kind of just like taken the pressure off myself for a long time. I was really forcing myself to post every day on Worlds of Chaos Crafter, and I got burnt out. And then I tried to dive in sooner than I should have and really got burnt out. And so I'm slowly easing my way back in. So that is kind of tied with a new D&D that I'm going to be running for my family, my wife, and my two kids, that I'm so excited about. It's called The Tales of Harborlight. And it is basically like a storybook setting inspired kind of by the coast of Maine and Canada and stuff, which was a trip I took. I literally have Maine on my hat, I'm just now realizing. It's very low magic, and it's basically just like hope core and kindness. And I'm so excited about it. They're going to be working for the Harborlight Post. They're going to be delivering mail to different lighthouses. And things, and it's going to be super cozy and lovely, and I'm very excited. those of you watching on YouTube, I'm starting to create like a little, it's going to be like a tug, hybrid tugboat, sailboat sort of deal.
Look at the little whale.
Oh my gosh, it's precious.
I have a working LED in it. And then again, not close to done. For those of you watching, I'm making a big old lighthouse that will also have working lights. So when they are done, or perhaps before they're done, I'll share pictures on Instagram. But that has been very therapeutic. It's been lovely. I'm just like slowly kind of going with it and working as I feel inspired. And I just say that as, you know, don't put pressure on yourself. Just do things as they are fun. Yeah. It should, it's a hobby and it should be a hobby. And there's nothing wrong with monetizing it or making it something more than that. But remember that we do this and we play this game and do these things for the love of doing them. All right. Stepping down off my soapbox, probably will be over by the time this episode comes out. The exciting thing that I have coming up is on November 8th is a Goshen and Dragons side quest event. So that our smaller of our two events, our big Goshen and Dragons event in March. Yeah. But this one's all day TTRPGs happening. Tickets are $30 for the full day. The exciting part of that is we actually have the Gen Con lending library coming. They bring apparently like a giant box truck and just like boxes and boxes and boxes full of board games.
Awesome.
I'm excited about that. I'm working the event. I opted out of running actual games. But I'm hoping to dive into a few board games that day, which should be a lot of fun. But we have people running D&D. We have people running Daggerheart. All sorts of stuff. So that'll be a really fun day. Yeah. And the night before that, the Friday night, there's a First Friday's event in Goshen, the town there. And it's a light parade. And so to promote the event, we're decorating my truck and we're doing a dungeon rave as a theme. So it's going to be fun. We're all going to dress up as like, you know, Renfest people, but with like glow sticks and stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're just joking. I say joking because I think we'll actually do it. We're just going to be blasting. We're taking the Hobbits to Isengard over and over and over through the whole parade because
as one should.
One does simply do that.
That sounds so fun.
It's going to be great.
Heck yeah.
Outside of that, I've just been slowly dinking around. This is something I wanted to talk about a long time ago. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, hard to see. This is an Owlbear mini that I got at Gen Con from Griffin Road Games, which is a small and newer company, but it is run by Tom Babby, who is a fairly famous and award-winning artist who has done a lot of artwork for D&D and Magic the Gathering and a lot of things over the years. But anyway, he is a naturalist and studies real life animals and has taken those talents into creating and designing these, you know, mythical animals, but in a more realistic form. And I think that's super cool. I think that's really fun.
Yeah.
So I assembled this guy earlier today and I'm excited to paint him largely because as I was reading through my new favorite book, Tales of Etheria by, you know, one Nicole Griffith, Game Master Mom. There's this lovely picture of these cozy little owl bears, and I'm like, I need to have that in my life. And I realized that I had a mini for it. You know, we've mentioned that book a couple times. 10 out of 10 would recommend. It's an excellent book. It's super cute, super cozy. Love it. Well done. I will silently golf clap. I know the last time that I did a drum roll, the mic didn't pick it up anyway. So you have my applause, but. Well done.
Thank you.
Awesome. Lord, that's a lot of things. I think that is largely tomorrow night as we're recording this tomorrow. I'm hosting D&D, my Abyssal Tides story. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, that's been me. I feel like I'm rambling a little bit, but it's been a long time and I'm feeling excited about Dungeons and Dragons and the TTRPG stuff again. So that's been nice. Don't be afraid to take a break, I guess, in summation. So what about you, Nicole? What's going on?
Also a lot, but I have to say, like, this may be one of my favorite updates that you've ever given because it's just full of all this like joyful, wholesome stuff. And I love that. Like, I do feel like that really speaks to the like, okay, I got past the burnout and now I'm like back into like the love of the hobby, which
and that is largely what I'm feeling. And you just sometimes don't know. I mean, we've talked about this. Jeff is a great advocate for always talking about mental health, both on here and and elsewhere. But you know, it's nothing to mess around with. Like, you gotta take care of yourself and get whatever help looks like for you. There's tons of resources. And strangely, D&D and crafting had become like a burden that was actually adding to my mental and emotional fatigue, which was strange. And it took me a while to figure that out, you know? So it feels lovely to be on the other side of that, you know, at least for now. And just taking it easy and enjoying the journey. So
it's kind of crazy. I feel like that's so, I mean, maybe that's not everybody that gets into this hobby, but I feel like so much of us that like are creators, especially when we're trying to kind of like get our brand and our stuff out there, like how I am, and you know, Charlie, I know you are too. And it's like what starts as like a healthy coping thing that makes you feel less stressed can really quickly slide into this thing that makes you feel more stressed and more pressure to like keep creating and keep impressing people. And that's, and I think it's just not really what it's about at the end of the day. It's about making yourself happy. It's not about showing off to other people.
And it, and I think it's important to note, like, it can be that. If that is what fills your cup, then absolutely it can be. If that is, you know, if getting the most amount of likes or building the coolest and best thing ever, like, that's great. Good, you know, keep doing it. But it is one of those things that it's whatever creative endeavor we're doing, whether it's this or something else entirely, it is like once you start kind of forcing it, then you're going to lose it one point or another, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Charlie.
I was just going to say, add on to that. I've had some people that have like kind of talked to me about the InkGM Instagram, where I post like a lot of reels, remixed reels. And I've had people be like, oh, you know, you're doing the, like, you know, followers or to, you know, get attention and everything else. And I was like, no, if that were the case, I would like be so much more stressed out about it. I was like, I really just make stuff that makes me laugh and put it out there. And just if, you know, if something gets a like, cool. And then if something trends and gets bigger and keeps going, cool. But like, I'm just making it strictly with the intention of making something that makes me laugh that I think might make somebody else laugh. Yeah. And that's it.
Because
if you focus there's so many things you can focus on and in the metrics on stuff, and it will just burn you out and drag you down, and nothing will ever seem good enough if you do that.
Yeah. I had I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, because I feel like it tends to bring up a lot of feelings for other, especially like parents and people who create content in this TTRPG space with kids. So apologies in advance if I offend people. You should do whatever you want to do. But I feel like one of my big like learning curves with Instagram was when I first started really like getting a lot more traction. Most of it was from reels and footage that I did of my children. And you know, it's wholesome stuff, right? It's us playing D&D together, and it inspired people, I think, for the right reasons. But once I started getting over, like, you know, I think one of my reels got like over like 200,000 views or something like that. It got me a lot of followers, which was great for my, you know, my brand and my visibility. Yeah. But as a mom, it started really freaking me out having that many eyes on my children. I'm sure almost all of them, if not all of them, were with really good intentions, but it just gave me the ick. And so I made the decision kind of like mid blowing up to take everything with my children's faces off, and I don't put their faces on anymore. And I really feel like that slowed down my growth a lot, but was absolutely the right call, because it was just giving me that like sick to my stomach feeling.
Yeah. And I think that is, I mean, an incredible example of that, but I think that is largely true of anything. Is like, we, when something is for fun, you know, like TTRPGs, D&D, Instagram, so, you know, whatever, it's always good to check in with yourself or even check in with a friend. Matt from Dungeon Matters and I message back and forth quite a bit. He's an angel. Shout out Dungeon Matters. If you don't follow him, you absolutely should.
Yeah, we love
and just Matt. Check in about mental health. Like, it's so important to kind of just do, you know, check your pulse every once in a while and make sure, you know, because when, like Nicole said, when the getting's good, then you're like going at it, you know? And it's always good to tap the brakes. It doesn't mean you have to full stop. Doesn't mean you have to throw it in reverse or anything like that. But it is always good to slow down sometimes and breathe and check and make sure, hey, I'm having fun. I'm feeling safe, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
Before you chart, it might be the exact same course, but before you, you know, rev up the motor, continue down the road again. But
for sure. Yeah. It has to be serving you, right? It has to be making you happy and making you feel good at the end of the day. It's not really for anyone any more than it is for you. So,
yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Well, that was an interesting aside. We all went on.
We got deep quick, but Nicole, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Okay, so I have been up to really not a lot over the last 2 weeks. I kind of took a little break from being quite so active on like Instagram and from marketing stuff for my book. I did get all of my physical products are in my house, my warehouse, I call it. Yeah. Yes, there's my beautiful book. I'm so happy with the quality of how everything turned out. It makes me so happy to see it. And I did get all of my orders from Kickstarter mailed out. So I'm current on getting people the stuff that they paid for, which feels really good and like a big relief. Nice. And really like the last, I don't know, two or three weeks, mostly what I've been doing is just kind of soaking in the like relational rewards of all this work that I did for the book and especially for the Kickstarter. I keep getting all these messages from people, mostly private messages, which honestly is like amazing. About like, oh, like I read my book, your book with my kids and they loved it. And like getting these little reaction videos of their little faces smiling. And it just, it's like, it's kind of brought me back to that place of like, okay, that's why I did all that work. And that's why I wrote this book, was because I wanted families to have these moments together. And now like seeing so many people having them, it's just like, it's a very good feeling. So I feel like it's come full circle on that project. And I'm almost ready to start, you know, hitting that pretty hard on a creative front again and get finished up with the game. That's the next piece, is the Adventures in Etheria TTRPG that is about 80% written, but probably needs a good hard edit. So it's
as one does.
So also, if anybody, I mean you guys for sure, but if anybody else listening is interested in being kind of like a read through editor / play tester of the first version of it, I would love to send out. Okay, I got two volunteers already. I'd love to send out some copies, I don't know, maybe in a month or so when I'm ready to do so, just to make sure the mechanics make sense, because sometimes when you write your own game, the mechanics make sense to you, but they do not make sense to readers. So,
and confirm.
And as much as I will take another copy, I definitely, I won't take another one for that. I will happily use one of my three copies.
The last session that I ran of D&D in the Abyssal Tide, I implemented, which is still not finished, but my Seafarer's Handbook that I talked about a while back.
Yeah.
And I knew that it had a lot of holes in it, but my lord, we found all of the issues with it. So I'm like, all right, back to the drawing board. But anyway.
Yeah, and that's just how it goes, right? I feel like you just at this point, it's like I've played this way that I'm writing the game to be played for almost 2 years now, so I know it. But that's the problem with me writing it, is that like I know how to fill in the holes, so I'm not going to catch them. So I really need some other people to catch, like, wait, what happens with this? Like, you didn't even say this part. So I'll be putting out the call for some play testers before too long on that.
So exciting.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been a good time. I really am itching to like play another D&D game actually with my kids. We haven't played in a while. We tried to play on vacation. We just went on a family vacation with some cousins that are not particularly game excited. They're not really into gaming, and we tried to convert them, and it was unsuccessful. So
I feel like kids especially, I mean, it's true of adults equally, but like people who are not into games, TTRPGs are like the hardest sell ever. Like it's hard enough getting them to play like apples to apples or whatever, and it's like, if you're not interested in that, I have this rules heavy, dice heavy game we can play, you know. And it's not gone over well in my experience.
Made an effort. You know, maybe we'll return to that again in another year or two and see if they're interested. But for now, fingers crossed. That's not the gaming crowd that we were looking for.
Nothing wrong with that.
We had tons of fun. We spent a lot of time playing sports and playing at the pool and going to the beach. The game table, though, was completely abandoned after like day two.
I mean, the beach is a nice consolation prize, so.
Fair enough. I mean, really my bad for trying to bring board games on a beach vacation. Like, what was I really thinking? I don't know. I was thinking, what would I want to do at a beach? I would want to play games, but, you know, whatever.
Next time.
Maybe.
How fun.
Yeah. If your vacation was being held at the IRS headquarters and it was abandoned there, I would be concerned. Really? Yeah. Really, guys? That's fair. Where you'd rather be?
Fair.
With all the paper cuts? Okay, sure.
But yeah, I was I was competing with like beautiful clear water white sand beaches, so that's really fair.
You know,
I mean, I don't know what it says about, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the beach, but you know, D&D. Why be at the beach when you can imagine you're at the beach?
Same.
I was going to say, I was like, honestly, what I want to do now, it sounds so much fun, is I want to make like, use the beach and build a terrain setting in the sand in like right there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This past spring, I brought a few minis with me when I went on a beach vacation, and I was like, I put them in this, and it was, I should have just leaned into it, but it took every fiber of my being not to just want to like play with them and dance them around on the beach. I'm like, no, I'm here to take pictures. I'm a grown man.
No, you should definitely play with your fingers on the beach.
For sure. You should always cater to your whims. Always. Just have fun. Be silly.
Remember, play with your mini responsibly.
Yes,
always. Don't break any laws. Let's follow our whims as long as they don't break any laws. Okay.
Amen. Words to live by.
That's the unfortunate thing that probably needed to be said. with that, we are gonna go ahead.
I will add two things real quick. I also had the privilege. Since our last session, I did get to do a recording with Dark Alchemy LTD podcast over on YouTube and Instagram. You can check them out. That one has gone live. Had a great time over there chatting with them. And then also got to record a session with the Sidekicks
podcast. Oh, yeah. Right?
Sidekicks and Side Quests?
Thank you. My brain was really malfunctioning.
Oh my gosh. 100%, like 10 out of 10, one of my favorite podcasts ever.
had an absolute blast. It was so much fun. And it was great. It was on the weekend. My wife was out of town, so I was just here by my lonesome, and we had a great time, recorded for like almost 2 hours, and it was so much fun. So really helped me pass that time. Unfortunately, that one I don't believe is slated to come out until March of next year. So it'll be some time.
Okay.
But when it does, I think you guys will really like it.
In the meantime, just watch all the other episodes. I'm on one too. They're so good.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And I told him we would love to have him on here, and he would love to have. I told him we should talk about doing something with all of us over there. That would be so much fun. And so we'll see if we can make this happen. But
one day, guy.
Absolutely fantastic
podcast. One day. And now, with that, we are going to transition into our lore.
For today's lore, we'll keep it somewhat brief. Certainly try to keep it briefer than the last time I talked about one of the cities in my homebrew setting. I know we went on for a while about that, and that was mostly my fault, and I apologize. But today, we're going to talk about, very briefly, the Mile High City. This is a wonderful city in the Adventures After an Arcane Apocalypse homebrew setting, hopefully coming to a Kickstarter near you next year. Yes, stickers. This city is actually quite fun, and this is a general image that I put together to try to show my players who do visit this city that I did on Incarnate. Shout out to them. They are fantastic.
It's beautiful.
For those that are listening and not watching, there is a large city that is nestled up in the top of the mountains. One of the things that are very notable from far in the distance is there's a massive, massive tree that oversits waterfall that comes down into a pool near the river that runs in between a deep valley between the mountains. Geographically, this is located in the Rocky Mountain area of North America, along that mountain range. And yeah, I will stop that screen. Now I'll kind of talk a little bit more. The lore and legend of this town, around 4 centuries ago during the wars of the apocalypse, this valley was a natural defense due to the Rocky Mountain range and how far inland it was. It became a relative safe haven for tens of millions of mortals fleeing for one reason or another of all species and origins. Here, mortals found peace and a place to exist, which at the time was more elusive than even today. There were thousands that had pledged themselves to various gods, to nature, and sheer basis of Arcana itself to protect this valley and the millions of mortals making it home. However, a growing band of followers to Tiamat were led by a champion of hers, an ancient green dragon known as Dorgara, the Queen's Butcher. Tiamat wanted to make this kingdom for her loyalists and one day a throne for her return. Within days, the valley was decimated, millions were slaughtered, and the remaining were clinging for life. A few heroes were still resisting the onslaught and sacrificed themselves to the gods they swore themselves to, Moradin, Melora, and Bahamut. Hodim, the dwarven sorcerer, summoned a massive lightning strike into the side of the mountain that unveiled the Allfather's great sword that had been forged from the center of the earth. Tothor, the Goliath paladin to Bahamut, surrendered his mortal form to the river and ash of the valley as the sun rose and cast the most brilliant morning light, almost silver in essence. And with Melora's owl and archdruid Arbutus, wild-shaped within that holy light, and together they created a treant titan, capable of wielding the nearly 100-foot-long greatsword. And with divine fury, they smited Dagora, Tiamat's butcher, into the side of the mountainous valley, forever impaling her into the mountainside. The remaining survivors were saved that day, and a small settlement was established amongst the carnage, the height of which was spared most of the initial destruction, and that was delivered after the druidic titan, which was gravely wounded by the amount of magic it wielded in that moment, fell back and collapsed into what are now called the Sapphire Falls, the waterfall that you had seen extending from the side of the mountain. And from its splintered decay of the tree end itself, the tree of the Wild Mother bloomed and has remained ever since. The very height of the city on Moradin's mountain, where the greatsword was founded, the shade of the Wild Mother's tree and the memorial of Bahamut's judgment across the valley is what protects the generations of those survivors to this day. Their surviving protectors pledged themselves to the gods, creating distinct halls of worship and an arcane guild to understand the magics that bless and preserve this valley, now known as the Mile High City. Love this city. It's a really fun one. It's got a lot of really cool lore to it. One of the things that I really like about it is it's primarily in this geographic region, primarily the population is Aarakocras, Owlins, Goliaths, and Dwarves.
A few
other species, you know, can be there and can be seen, but they're not nearly as common or rare. There is specific religious groups because of the founding of the city and how the gods divinely intervened collectively to defeat this ancient dragon champion of Tiamat. They have a very deep religious institution in history there. So there's actually three main structures here, which I really like. And those are, you have the monastery known as the Monks of Melora. Then you have the Holy Order and Church of Bahamut and the Synagogue of Moradin. It is very, very cool. The other thing that's also great too is, so you have those, you know, kind of religious structures and institutions within the city, but also with Melora, you know, they did create an institution, but there's also from this tree that sits there and is known as the sacred tree, and tree is known as the Wild Mother's tree that sits at the top of the Sapphire Falls, ended up creating a local druidic community known as the Circle of the Deep Woods, that is specifically to this. So you technically, depending on how you define religion, have four religious groups there.
Can we dive into how we define religion really quick?
just real quick.
It was a joke. Yes. It was a joke. Please move on.
And the episode was 3 hours long.
Yes. but what's also really cool that extended from that is they also have an Arcana Guild to try to understand, because there are ancient magics that are still at work to this very day, preserving and helping protect this valley and the city that is there from a lot of the other nasty byproducts and effects of the arcane apocalypse. But of that Arcana Guild, they have different representatives amongst them. But one of the, there's two things that the Arcana Guild is most known for that they preserve within the city, which is an extensive library of arcane knowledge and history that they've amassed over the last three centuries. And then the other, and this is really cool, I love this, is a repository of magical items. What's really cool about this whole magical items exchange project is built on the idea of take a penny, leave a penny. So you can go here and you can exchange a magical item of rough equivalency and withdraw it like a book from a library, and you leave a magic item as a deposit, essentially. And you can come back and with the knowledge that, like, hey, if you're leaving it here, like, somebody else could also borrow it and withdraw it. It's part of this, you know, community exchange. But it's also just a really fun way, because one of the things I love in D&D, right, is as a player, you get magical items, right? So much fun. Yes. So cool.
Yes.
Something that you guys, you know as GMs, is that sometimes you get to a point where your players can have too many magical items, right? And something that they were really stoked about before, now they're not really, and they still have it in their bag, but they don't want to get rid of it. And they're like, what do I do with it? It's not really serving any purpose, but, you know, it is there. So this was a really cool way for players to be able to come to this place and they're like, okay, you know, maybe I've multiclassed. Maybe a previous character of the group died. And so they, you know, but that player came back and now they have a new character and all that stuff doesn't really fit for them. This is a way for them to be able to exchange it and get something without overburdening them with new items or causing them to lose items, which sucks. And doesn't keep things overpowered or feels like they're just getting something, for the, you know, to keep the narrative rolling.
I love that, like, that library always trade type situation. That's a really cool idea.
I'm gonna steal that for sure.
Also, I don't know what it says about me, but before you started talking about like the trade situation, I was thinking like, that sounds like a great place to loot. I'm gonna go steal all that shit. That sounds really cool.
Yes, they have had 3 centuries to protect things and keep things well warded.
Okay, okay.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yep. Yeah, I'm still gonna try.
Always, hey, Carly, there's always when you one shot for us story crafters. Can that be what it is? Is we just try to break into that place?
Yes, dude, the heist.
I would love that. I would love that because the Council of Five that protects of the Arcana Guild that protects this, right? Like if there's ever like essentially you know, if somebody were to do so, there's, you know, silent alarm, all kinds of stuff, they have protection. But the Council of Five of the Arcana Guild who lead it will be notified and immediately respond. They are essentially, you know, the Avengers for this city that respond in a crisis. And it's literally made of a monk, a paladin, a cleric, a druid, and a bard. And I would love for them to come in and just kick some ass. That would be so much fun.
They may have their day.
So you're saying we'll at least get to be level 2?
At least.
At least. I'm thinking, honestly, like, you'll probably have to be... Like, if we were to actually run this, I'm totally down to run it. I would say probably 15.
All right. Ooh, I mean, I will probably make a character before I go to sleep tonight. No pressure, though.
Yeah.
So, in summation, ladies and gentlemen, that is how you make a city in your homebrew world.
Yes.
It's
so good. Yeah, I'm obsessed with this world in a way that, like, I don't think I've been obsessed with anything since like the Elder Scrolls. Like, I feel like it's like that level of obsession that I have with the world. Like, I want to read all the lore books. I want to visit all the places. I need to explore every single marker. I want all of it.
Look, that is the plan. That is the hope. That is the dream. That is the goal.
I mean, geographically, it just doesn't work out, but I don't think you'd want me as a player because I would literally just want to lift up every single rock and pebble and see what's under everything, and I would never accomplish anything.
Well, look, the lore of this city didn't even get divulged until I did a one-shot for my wife and brother-in-law and best friend like a month ago or so, and that was because my wife plays a druid and was sitting on the Wild Mother's tree wanting to commune with the tree, with the, you know, the essence of the circle of the deep woods, to understand, like, what, you know, just try to comprehend in some degree the magic that protects this place, you know, because of all the chaos that's in the rest of the world. She rolled a nat 20. And I was like, okay.
How many chapters was the novel that the tree read to her?
No, honestly, it was really cool. What if you guys are familiar with Avatar The Last Airbender, there's a really great moment where Aang, in the woods, where there's that really big ancient tree, right? That the whole forest is basically just the roots and everything. And he keeps like being connected to it, and he touches it, and he like kind of goes through the roots and everything. I use that kind of same idea, and so she communes with it, and the tree took her like a scrying spell through the valley to a group of cultists that were skulking through the mountainside, and was able to, you know, get this feeling that they were heading to the remains of Dagora that's impaled on the mountainside. And cultists of Tiamat heading there, does not sound good. I don't know what their plan is. It doesn't sound like any of it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, it doesn't give me a warm fuzzy.
And to do that, right? But the tree can't talk to her, so it's just kind of showing her this. And then from there, it did the same thing, kind of going through the roots, but instead it did so through the magical weaves of time, and showed her the war that unfolded over those several days. And the treant coming to life from the sacrifice of the three champions and smiting that ancient green dragon to show like what these remains are, what is this magical sword in the side of the mountain, and everything from there, and falling in and creating the tree itself. And so that was how she got to learn about it. And finally I got to share it with players, and it was the best. So look under rocks. I will happily share everything.
There's but eventually quite literally nothing more. Yeah, right. Sorry, I interrupted you. There's literally nothing more satisfying and gratifying than somebody getting a nat 20 on a history check where you can just like unload all the stuff you've been saving up.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like vomit more everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
That is incredible. That is absolutely incredible.
I love that. Thank you, Charlie. Yeah. I feel like we're always in for a treat when you share little pieces of your world. So appreciate that.
I love talking about it. It's such a fun place. So anytime.
Yeah, no kidding, man. That's incredible. Yeah, thank you. Wild. I'm not sure what I have even, like, I want to ask questions, but I'm like, I don't even know where I would begin
I'm reeling it in. Yep. I'm trying to get off the soapbox because I can talk about it all day long.
I
think on behalf of everyone, we would let you and we would want you to.
Yeah, pretty much. Another day.
Yes, another day. Yes. Yeah, thank you, Charlie. Incredible. This is episode 20 of the Story Crafters, which is actually crazy.
What is happening?
So it feels weird to do it without Jeff here, but we are just going to take some time and just kind of retrospectively look back at the 19 episodes before this and just kind of go over our favorites and just kind of a free-flowing conversation. Highlights, favorite moments, favorite lore segments, favorite topics, whatever, you know, strums your heartstrings to talk about, feel free. Charlie, you did roll a 12. So if you are out of the Mile High City and ready to dive back into the Story Crafters, the platform is yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First thing I would say is it would be all the guests. We've had several guests. It's been so much fun. I love getting to talk to these people. That's what was so great about BirdQuest, was just getting to sit and talk on a panel about D&D and go to panels and talk about D&D and just walk around and talk about it all weekend. It was great. And so any excuse I get to do that is awesome. That's why I love this podcast so much. But especially when we get to bring other people on and the questions that they ask and the perspectives that they share and introduce, is not failed to really be exciting. I have to, out of all the guests, I do have to give a big shout out to our sponsor, Firelight Tables. KC is awesome. That was such a great episode with her, and it was such a privilege getting to talk to her and hear about all the cool things that she does, and not just like with the candles for TTRPG community, but also just her as a GM and the stuff that she does. And I love that that's where the candles came from, was wanting to, as we all do as GMs, how do I create a more immersive experience for my players? And then created these fantastic products as a result from it, which helped so many other GMs be able to have their players be more immersed. It's such a full circle, wonderful thing. And it's just so cool.
For me, it's one of those things that when you find companies, you know, when I first saw Firelight Fables, those are the type of companies that you always hope, like, man, I hope whoever came up with this did it because it's like for those exact reasons, because they wanted to improve their own games, or they have friends that, you know, and it's just like there's something that is so much cozier and satisfying about something being born from not even necessity as much as just like a desire for more fun, more immersion. And I love that so much. And I think that is the story that we hear over and over from everybody. Same with Jumpin' Jack's Tavern, you know. Yeah. It's so often where it does some oftentimes kind of fill a void. I mean, that is how products in the economy work, you know. It is so often like, this would be so much fun to have, you know, can I do this? And I love things that are born from genuine enthusiasm and wanting to improve the TTRPG space and, you know, share love and spread joy. It's so much fun.
Agreed.
And Casey is just such a lovely person to talk to. Like, I love her company. I'm always like, it's probably like the most impressive packages I've ever received in my life. Oh, every time I open them up, absolutely. I'm like, how did you go so above and beyond? Like, you didn't just send me a candle, the world's best candle. You sent me like a whole experience. It's like Christmas morning. Yeah. It's so beautiful. But aside from the company, Casey is just so inspiring and like such a joy to be around. And I kind of want her to just join the show. I'm not going to lie.
Right. Yeah.
Casey, do you want to be a story crafter?
Do you want to be our best friend?
Yeah.
That's so great. The guests that we've had are definitely my favorite. But for me, I want to even take it further back than that. When Jeff first reached out to, I think just Nicole and I actually, talking about like, hey, it'd be fun to play D&D sometime. And then I think we were both like, hey, what if we invite this guy that we don't really know, Inked GM? He seems like a super cool dude, you know? And
good call. Really good call.
Right, yeah. Great call. And then Jeff threw out the idea of like, listen, this is crazy. What if we did a podcast? And we're all like, sure, you know, we have no clue what we're doing, but why not? And the first time we ever met, I mean, virtually, we all played D&D together. Jeff ran a one-shot for us. And it was so immediate for me that I was like, oh, yeah, there is something here, you know? And I just think what a joy to, I mean, just genuinely, like, we all just kind of stumbled upon each other's content. And, you know, now it's, I mean, you guys are my genuine friends, you know?
Yeah.
And this is truly the Story Crafters is one of my favorite things I get to do. It's much like Charlie, you know, talking about his own world. Like, I love having not just the excuse, but the actual reason to sit down and get to talk about D&D and talk about our creative endeavors. And you know, it all transfers into real life things. I mean, like the beginning of this, we're talking about mental health, you know, but it's through the lens and prism of D&D and stuff. And I love that. It has been truly one of the greatest joys and benefits of this show for me is meeting incredible people who continue to inspire me and, you know, push me forward in my own journeys. So,
yes, I agree. I feel like you stole my thunder a little bit, but that's okay. I rolled a one. It's what I get.
Jeff can just cut what I said, put you first. That way it sounds like I'm just repeating you, you know?
No, she wrote, you guys know me.
No, you're right.
I am all about supporting and empowering others, but she rolled a nat one. There has
I
to
rolled
be
a one.
It's true. If you had even rolled a two, then maybe there would be the sympathy, but that's on you.
Yeah, it is. The dice rolled how the dice rolled today, but that's okay. Definitely though, all-time favorite thing about anything to do with this podcast is just you guys. Like, I mean, honestly, I'm just very of course Jeff included, but like I'm always so amazed and grateful that you guys carve out your time that you could be doing anything else. We're all really freaking busy individuals and y'all still keep showing up to these conversations and making this a priority. And it's amazing. Like, I can't believe we're on episode 20. That's crazy to me. But also I kind of can, because I feel like we just all enjoy each other's company so much. Like,
it is.
Sure, we record it, but I feel like the recording is kind of the excuse to like get together.
To hang out, right. I mean, listen, I say this, and admittedly, Jeff does all of the editing and all the like tech side of it, but it's like, this is one of the easiest things I've done, frankly, because it's just easy to talk about things we're passionate about with other people who are also passionate and kind and good people.
And thank you, Jeff, for doing all the hard part.
Yeah, and thank you, Jeff. You're the best. Yeah. So sorry for everything we did. Look, another one Jeff, of my favorite Jeff things.
I got to give a quick shout out to Jeff, because at BirdQuest, I mean, like listeners, when we say that, like, Jeff is awesome. Jeff is awesome. And he really does so much. And he makes all of this seem so seamless and easy. And it was so awesome to see at BirdQuest, because it was being held at William and Mary campus. And as you know, he works also for sound engineering at another higher education institution. And so they have similar equipment. And so he was there. And all the people that were hosting the convention were at and doing the technical stuff were coming up to him and asking him. And he was like, oh, yeah, you just do this. And bro, for like 30 minutes was going around to different rooms and troubleshooting stuff, and was just like the man.
That's hilarious.
He's so nice and so gracious, and was just happy to help and happy to be there, and just a great guy.
Just like, so one of the most thoughtful, nice people I've ever met in my whole life. Like, yeah. Jeff is one of those people who is just like the most wonderful, thoughtful friend. Like, he'll just like randomly check in on you because it's Tuesday and be like, hey, how you doing? Yeah. And it's like a genuine ask. Like,
I had been fairly inactive on Instagram for a while, and Jeff literally texted me and he's like, hey man, you alive? You doing okay? And so anyway, find yourself a Jeff.
Yes.
He's great.
Also, strive to be a friend like Jeff.
Yeah, for real.
Truth.
For real. Fact. Another one of my favorites has been our lore segments. It not only the ones that I've done have forced me to actually read more and learn more about the world of D&D. It's also incredibly fun to hear about, you know, Nicole shared stuff about her world. Obviously, Charlie in this episode and others have shared stuff. Like, I think it was one of the first lore. I don't know if it was episode one, but like, I still always think about the purple rocks.
Yes.
I literally was looking at the map of the Sword Coast, and I'm like, where's somewhere random that I know nothing about? And that was really fun, just to have like a reason to, again, just kind of slow down and look for something. And, you know, I would have no reason to have read about it, outside of that. And so that's been really fun too, to kind of have that intentionality tied to this of taking the time to learn and read, and because it's inspiring, the lore of D&D, whether you use it proper at your table or not, it's so inspiring. And there's so many things that you can glean from that and take and use and switch around, you know, and that's been really fun.
Yeah.
I will say, I was just kind of browsing through before this our like show notes of like the different topics we've talked about. And I'm really torn because I think I have two favorite episodes, and they happen to be back to back. One is episode 12, where we talked about like, do monsters have a moral compass? Like, can they be good? What are their intentions? Excellent. If you haven't listened to episode 12, it's a really good one. And then the other one is, I think maybe 13, or it might be 11. I don't know. It's next to that one on one end. But the one we did about puzzles, I feel like was really cool. Yes. I got so many good ideas from y'all about how to use puzzles in D&D.
And I think that's definitely one of the things too that's been a great benefit to me, is the elements of DMing that I don't tend to implement a lot. You all do. I mean, because we all DM similarly in some ways. I mean, in drastically different forms. Like, it's so fun to just be able to dive in and talk about the nitty gritty of how we run a game. You know, how do you do this? How do you do that? Because those are the conversations you always want to have. But sometimes as a DM, you're kind of like, you're alone on the island. You know, you can't always talk to your players about it, especially if they've never DM'd, which I think is oftentimes the case, you know. And so it's just lovely. You know, it has been, hopefully it's true for any of our listeners too, but like just doing this has been such a resource for me. I mean, I will go back and listen to old episodes because I'm like, I know there was something that was said that I should have taken a note of what wasn't. I'll go back and listen and be like, that's what it was, you know? And that's just so much fun.
Yeah. So I will say, one of the sessions or episodes that I really love that we did, and I would love for us to do again, is where we did the Ask Us Anything, the Q&A.
Yeah.
That was primarily how we ran the panel about homebrewing content and world building at BirdQuest. We talked a little bit about, you know, myself and Jeff and James are, and what our kind of styles are and everything. We did that for about like 5 minutes. And then we're like, let's open it up to you guys. Like, we think it'd be much more beneficial and be able to directly talk about these things if we can talk about specific questions that you have when it comes to world building, and homebrewing content. And that was so much fun. And that's what I really liked about the Ask Us Anything too, because I love when we get to deep dive into topics and conversations and everything. But it's so much fun to, you know, talk about questions that people have and share ideas and things. And sometimes when you get those questions, you think of stuff that you never would have thought of. And that was just a ton of fun as well in general. So
it was. And I think it's just the reality is having this podcast does not make us more qualified than anyone, but it's just a great platform to get to talk about things, you know, to have conversations that we don't otherwise get to have, you know, and to have people ask because, you know, they might already have their own answer, but it's just so much fun to get other opinions and different viewpoints on things.
We should do another one of those. That's a great idea. Maybe like episode 25 or something. We could do Ask Us Anything again.
Yeah. Episode 25 should line up pretty closely to like our 1 year anniversary of doing the show as well, which will be pretty cool. One thing that I want to say, which kind of ties back to what I did say, I would love to play more D&D with you guys.
Yes.
I would love to. I mean, I know we're kind of, you know, I wasn't really joking, but, you know, half joking about Charlie running a one shot. I think that would be so much fun.
Yeah.
Especially now that we know each other more, you know, I think that's something that I would love to be able to do more of and, you know, wherever, however that ends up being content. Because that was the most fun. It was great. Yeah. Those of you listening, we would love to hear from you. You know, let us know what your favorite thing we've talked about is. Let us know what you would like us to talk about, what you would like to hear more, what, you know, maybe what you'd like to hear less of. We genuinely do love to hear from you guys. And we just do this for fun, you know, and we just want to continue that. It's great. It's a wonderful thing to get to do. So,
Thank you guys for 20 episodes. It was amazing. Yeah.
Wild.
Crazy. Amazing. Crazy. I mean, if anybody has anything else they want to throw in, I don't want to cut it short, but, what we should do though is roll a D100. To determine what our next topic will be for our next episode.
I will say one of the episodes many moons ago, we rolled a topic that we haven't discussed yet also.
Oh, sure.
Oh. So the topic that we were going to talk about next was dungeon design, which I'm kind of excited about.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all want to put that back in the mix or if you want to.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we need to honor
that. Yeah.
Okay. That was number 19. So let's pretend we rolled it and it was 19 again. Oh my gosh.
I mean, listen, if we're roasting you for rolling in that one on initiative, we got to honor the dice as they lie, you know? So absolutely. Absolutely. Dungeon design is what we should absolutely do in our next episode.
Yeah. I think we rolled that like 4 episodes ago, maybe, but maybe 3. I don't know. It's been a while. We had Adam from BirdQuest. We had BirdQuest. Like it was a whole chapter about BirdQuest. Yeah. So we kind of got off the rails in the best way.
in the best way.
To quote Ashley Johnson from Critical Role, I believe it was Campaign 2, her character Yasha said very intelligently and brilliantly, "Time is soup."
Time is soup. I will be honest. I have picked up saying that because I think my brother and a few other of my players say that, and I don't think I actually knew where that was from until literally just now. But yes, time is soup. Time is soup. Well, you all, this was incredible. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Nicole, for being here. Jeff, again, get well soon. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out, you have been healthy for multiple weeks. And we love you. We appreciate you. And
so much
from all of us. Everyone. Take care and keep adventuring.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everyone. May your next role be in your favor. Thank you.